low vision, or have another print disability, which makes reading, holding a book, or turning a page difficult or impossible. The content is copyrighted by the respective publishers. For more information, please visit us on the web at nfradioreading.org.
Hello, this is Fran McNamara, and for the next hour, I'll be reading from the August 14th through 20th, 2026 issue of Buffalo Business First, and right here on the Niagara Frontier Radio Reading Service. So let's get to it. On the front page, Buffalo Business First, there's a smiling young lady in a black dress, and it says 200 Power Women 2026. This year's number one leads one of Western New York's largest employers and uses her influence to benefit the entire region. And it's going to be on pages 9 through, 64. Okay, well, we'll see how much we can get to. And at the bottom of the page, it mentions there's going to be a list on page 8. Executive staffing firms, Western New York's largest construction projects. Then it mentions power people. Bank exec leads with compassion. Shuk Owanami's role at Key Bank centers on building communities. And that's going to be with Jacob Turney on page 3. And then a blurb for development. Construction slump continues. The city of Buffalo issued 33% fewer building permits in the first 6 months of 2026. And that will be in the focus section. Looks like that's going to be back on page 68. So, wow, there's 104 pages in this issue. I'll try to get to what I can get to. Okay, second page, first things first. Leadership changes at 8 Western New York organizations. And there's a graphic of 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 flying kites. And rising ahead of them, they're all white, and there's one gold one zipping past them. Leadership changes. Okay. Retirements ahead at Buffalo Medical Group, Trocare, and more. So this article on page 2, I'm looking for a byline, and there it is, Sarah Paulson Meehan. Okay, let's see what Sarah writes. July's leadership news included the announcement of two new museum leaders, a retiring leader of one of Buffalo's largest medical groups, and a college search for a new president. C-suite roster for July. Okay, now these, they're not in alphabetical order. I don't see them as being in any order, quite frankly. Okay, so, number one, the Boys and Girls Clubs of Buffalo. Melanie Rushforth joined the organization as CEO on July 6th, taking over from Sherry McDonough, who retired. Rushforth previously led Lutheran Charities of Western New York for 4 years. Next, the AKG Art Museum. Two women have been tapped to lead the Elmwood Avenue facility. Jillian Jones will shift from deputy director to executive director effective November 1st. And the chief curator, Kathleen Chafee, will become artistic director. The transition will take place after the departure of Jan Strain, who announced this spring he would give up the director post after 13 years. Next, we have the Buffalo Medical Group. Daniel Scully is retiring after 31 years as CEO of one of the Buffalo's largest medical groups. The company is looking for his successor and plans to have a transition period lasting into 2027. Okay, so they're not announcing his replacement at the moment. Next, we have Buffalo Together Community Response Fund. The organization has tapped a longtime nonprofit executive with deep roots on the city's east side as its first president and CEO. Cindy Odom, who joined the organization in mid-July, is tasked with leading the implementation of the investment strategy to distribute $6.5 million donated after the May 14, 2022 racist shootings on Jefferson Avenue. Okay, next we have Columbus McKinnon. John Linker has been named chief financial officer for the Motion Solution Company, once based here. Columbus McKinnon, now headquartered in North Carolina, has 78 employees at its offices in Amherst. Excuse me, next we have Cosmic Sports. Serial entrepreneur John Chimperman has joined the sports entertainment company as chief marketing officer and vice president of hockey. You might know him as the co-founder of the Borderland Music and Arts Festival, the founder of 42 North Brewing Company, creator of marketing agency Barnstorm Sports and Entertainment, or co-host of Buffalo Toronto Public Media's Skin in the Game podcast. Okay, no wonder he's called the serial entrepreneur. Next we have JP Morgan Chase. Casey Fitzgerald has been named region director for the bank's commercial banking Northeast segment, with the territory covering Buffalo, Rochester, Syracuse, and Albany. He replaces Robert McArdle, the longtime executive who retired this past July 2nd. And finally, under leadership changes, we have Trocare College. Rassam Deeb will retire as president of the private Buffalo College after 14 years in the role. A national executive search firm has been hired to find his replacement. Deeb will remain until a search is completed and his successor has been appointed. Okay, so that's the end of pages 1 and 2. And again, that article was brought to us by Sarah Paulson Meehan. Okay, now we go to page 3, and for a number of months now, page 3 has been devoted to power people. And it says here, Buffalo Business First publishes 3 annual power lists, the Power 250, the Power 200 Women, and the Power 100 Business Leaders of Color. This features the top business leaders in Western New York. Each week, we will tell you more about one executive on those lists. And this week, it's Shawuki Shonmain, Corporate Responsibility Officer for KeyBank. Okay, and there's a picture of the gentleman. Very nice blue sport coat, powder blue sport coat on top of a white business shirt. And he's got on some tan khakis, hand in his left thigh pocket, and with a very bright smile on his face, leaning on a chair and looking right at the camera with sincere happiness, it sure looks like to me. And, okay, Jacob Tierney is the one who's going to be offering the questions or areas of discussion here to Chutki. Okay, here we go. Ask him about his priorities, and Chiwutki will speak at length about the challenges facing communities in Buffalo, Rochester, and beyond. As KeyBank's Corporate Responsibility Officer for the region, he works closely with numerous area nonprofits, both to disperse funding to the charitable KeyBank Foundation and also to provide expertise. It's a mission with 3 focus areas: education, workforce development, and neighbors. A sweeping term that includes affordable housing and small business support. Excuse me, I'm sorry about this. Born in Nigeria, he moved to Buffalo as a child. His career has taken him to the public and private sector, and in his current role, he keeps a foot in both worlds while pursuing his passion for helping build communities. And here's a quote. He says, "I don't think I could have engineered a better job for myself if I could." Now mentions he and his wife Rachel have 2 children. His Power 100 Leaders of Color ranking for 2025 is number 62. So Jacob posed the first question: what's something people don't know about you? And he answers, people are usually surprised to learn that I generally enjoy slowing down. It doesn't seem like it, because for years I probably would have described myself as someone who was always focused on the next challenge. But my kids have changed that. So then Jacob asks, what's the biggest goal for the next 12 months? The nonprofit sector is entering a period of uncertainty, and a lot of organizations that serve our most vulnerable populations, they're probably going to feel it first. So my job is to prioritize helping strengthen those organizations so that they're better able to withstand what's coming down the pike. So Chuki is asked, what's your next travel destination? I would say somewhere in Europe. It's so crazy because I'm starting to just discover that my kids have this genuine curiosity about the world, and so they want to travel. What were your favorite subjects in high school? History and social studies. And I think the reason why those subjects resonate so well with me is probably because I'm an immigrant. I came here at the age of 11, and it was a brand new culture, a brand new space that I had to try to navigate. Social studies and history sort of allow me to learn a little bit more about different places and different cultures. Okay, then what was your first job? I was a paper boy. I had a paper route on the west side of Buffalo. What's your favorite hobby? And he answers, I've had this conversation with my wife often. I think she will tell you that I have curiosities instead of hobbies. Because one week I might go down the rabbit hole of urban planning. Then the following week I go down the rabbit hole of space travel. What advice would you give your 25-year-old self? And he answers, I would tell him to not just necessarily chase promotions or trying really hard to belong. 2 or 3 weeks before I turned 25, I started my job as a hedge fund. I started my job at a hedge fund. I felt myself just trying to prove that I belonged in that space as someone who did not have a finance background. With the magic wand, what would you change about working in Western New York? And he says, Buffalo has a lot going for it. But the one thing I would love to see more of is collaboration. I think we tend to work in silos a lot. And finally, what was the most pivotal moment in your life? And he mentions, my move back to Buffalo 7 years ago in 2019. It reconnected me with my passion and the reason I left the hedge fund in the first place. Okay, well, Jacob, thank you for presenting those questions and areas of concern to Chuwiki Owenzan. I hope I'm pronouncing that right, who is now the Corporate Responsibility Officer at KeyBank. And that is the end of page 3, and it brings us to page 4, The Business of Retail, with Leon Bunny presenting us 3 articles. Okay, your first article says, Leon Bunny writes, Buffalo, just storage expands in Western New York and eyes more growth. When Dale Payne took the helm of Just Storage about a year ago, he had aspirations to hire and grow in Buffalo. Since then, the former Life Storage Vice President of Business Development has done just that in Western New York as well as outside the region. The self-storage company, July 6, opened a newly built storage facility at 9490 County Road in Clarence Center. The 42,000 square foot building has about 300 storage units. So Payne, president of the company who works from his Clarence home, says, I think that Buffalo is an untapped market and I know the value of living here, close quote. Just Storage has around 75 employees and 20 stores across 12 states. The Clarence facility is the company's first in Western New York. By year-end, the business will expand over 100 employees and 30 to 40 stores across 15 states, according to Payne. About five of those new locations will be in Western New York and will be a mix of new development and existing facilities. The business employs four locally and expects that to reach nine by this time of year, next year. Payne also said he wants to find a flagship facility with a nearby or attached office in the Buffalo area over the next 12 months. The spot will become Just Storage's East Coast office. Well, let's hoping like love that Just Storage is here to stay. Okay, next we have Developer Rethinks Retail Space Downtown. And there's a picture here, 523 Main Street in Buffalo, and it says The Lane, L-A-N-E, is the name of the business. The Lane at 523 Main Street in Buffalo. Okay, we're going to find out what this actually is. The Lane. Okay. Developer rethinks retail space downtown. Owner invests $1 million as micro retail concept reaches full occupancy. When Ruth Ann Hudson bought 523 Main Street downtown in 2021, the first floor only had a few tenants. Now the whole building is 100% occupied and has transformed beyond her original plans. Between the building purchase and renovations, she invested around $1 million. And here's a comment, a quote from Ruth Ann. By the way, she's pictured in a smaller picture just below the larger one showing 523 Main Street. She says, I wanted it to be a space that could be used, that you would have common areas, but then you could have individual areas. I just didn't know what the demand would be like. I didn't know what type of businesses would be interested in the space. Close quote. Hudson grew up outside of Charlotte, studied Spanish and Latin American studies at Georgetown University, and got her MBA from the University of Pennsylvania. She met her husband, a Kenmore native, while in D.C., purchased and renovated a few homes there. In 2017, she started getting involved in Western New York real estate based on visits with her husband. Excuse me. In 2020, they moved with their two children to Buffalo to be closer to his family. It was also convenient for her to be on site to work on her local real estate projects while she works remotely for IBM as a technology consultant. She began shifting the rest of her portfolio from D.C. to Buffalo. At 523 Main Street, called The Ruth, she rents out two apartments and an office on the upper floors. That gives her flexibility to work with small businesses on the main floor, called The Lane on Main. So it has, okay, The Lane on Main. She markets spaces as small as 150 square feet for $400 to $475 a month, as shown by a flyer recently posted on the wall. So larger spots can be up to $850 a month, including internet and utilities based on the company's website. And here's another quote from Ruth Ann. My preference is to have tenants who really want to be here and contribute to the overall community on this floor. There's a lot of trust involved. Currently, The Lane on Main's around a dozen tenants include Evening House Books in the storefront facing Main Street, JMC Candles and Home, and Conbini. Okay, so good luck to that entrepreneur. And next we have Williamsville. Read It and Eat opens next chapter with a larger store. And by the way, before we continue, I'm recalcitrant to mention that you're listening to a reading of articles and features from Buffalo Business First. And you know where, folks, let's say it with me. Right here on the Niagara Frontier Radio Reading Service. may have to compose a jingle about that so we can all sing it together. Well, anyways, let's get back here. And we have our Lee and Bunny third article. Read It and Eat opens next chapter with a larger store, Williamsville. Kimberly Bernhardt, okay, let me get this right. Kimberly Bazzotti started her business about 5 years ago as an online book and food subscription company out of the second bedroom of her Chicago apartment. After relocating to Western New York in May 2021 to be closer to family, she's expanded the business to become a full-fledged culinary bookstore. Read It and Eat Bookshop has grown from a 250-square-foot incubator space to now opening a 1,700-square-foot flagship location with a dedicated demonstration kitchen. The space is at 5526 Main Street in Williamsville, and it's expected to open in the fall. And here's a quote from Kimberly. "That commercial kitchen will enable and unlock for us the ability to host cooking classes, private events, and it will be certified so that it can be rented hourly for those that might be a small business that are part of maybe the farmer's market, which enables job opportunities and helps community engagement," close quote. A Long Island native, Kimberly got her bachelor's from SUNY Oswego in cinema and screen studies and English literature. She worked in the film and television industry and wanted to potentially pivot her career and learn more about the business side. And so she has. And what a clever title, too. Read It and Eat. Well, that's it for page 4. My gosh. Lee and Bunny, we thank you for those 3 articles. And now we go to page 5. Oh, my. Page 5 is Why Costco is Betting Big on Western New York. Oh, my. Retailers' expansion follows years of shoppers traveling from Buffalo to the Rochester site. So this is also written by Lee and Bunny. So this will be 4th of 4 in the business of retail. Okay, next we have hotels and hospitality takes up all of page 6. There are 2 full articles, and then there's one that we call, at least I call, a mystery item. Now that's usually a quote or a number, and in this case it's a number. So we're going to do that first because I know you're riveted to your set listening to the big number. $11.8 million. Okay, $11.8 million. Okay, what could that be for? Well, it says, the amount for which ESA P Portfolio LLC sold the Studio 6 Corporate Extended Stay Buffalo Amherst to M6 Studio Rochester Greece USA LLC, a holding company of Texas-based G6 Hospitality. Okay. So they sold the Studio 6 Corporate Extended Stay Buffalo Amherst to M6 Studio Rochester Greece USA LLC. Well, that's a lot to say. For $11.8 million. Okay. Now, first full article, Grand Island. Investors chase Radisson already under construction. Okay. The former Grand Island Radisson continues to generate interest from potential buyers despite a signed deal in place. A group of Israeli investors signed a deal last November for the 263-room hotel, agreeing to a 12-month deal and a closing in December 2026. But That hasn't stopped other groups interested in the 10 acres of waterfront property on the Niagara River from continuing to reach out to Vienna Lorendi, associate broker with Howard Hanna Real Estate Services, who is handling the sale. And here's a quote from Vienna. "I get a lot of calls from out-of-town investors hoping that the Radisson deal falls apart because they're sorry they missed the opportunity." Oh, my. Okay. So, where were these investors for the two previous years when the hotel was listed? Lorendi said it may have simply been priced too high. The buyers who did take action, Lorendi said, are holding off on identifying themselves or sharing their plans for a high-end resort at the 100 Whitehaven Road property. But they remain committed and put down a non-refundable deposit. Hoo-ha! Okay, if I'm not mistaken, that's the same site that used to be a Holiday Inn for years, right there on the Niagara River, right across from Mississippi Mud's and Old Man River's. So if you can picture that corner property there, beautiful site to see. And let's see again, how many acres is it? Oh, my. Okay, I can see 263-room hotel, but it's 10 acres. Okay, so that's quite a sight. So next we have, there's a picture of Hard Rock Cafe on Prospect Street in Niagara Falls. And this article says, Hard Rock joins growing Live USA portfolio. Or is it Live USA? Well, we'll find out. 20-year agreement adds another entertainment asset for DiCienzo family. The Hard Rock Cafe in Niagara Falls will have a new operator after 30 years as Live USA Incorporated takes over the corporate location at 333 Prospect Street from the Hard Rock International. Terms of the 20-year agreement were not disclosed. The company will lease the property from Rise Up Niagara LLC, an affiliate of SUNY Niagara, which bought the building from Rainbow Square 2 in 2017. Plans call for adding an outdoor patio, upgrades, and additional entertainment. Live USA will retain all existing staff, about 75 people. The company is led by the DiCienzo family, which also owns the Sheraton and Wyndham Garden Hotels and Rainforest Cafe through American Niagara Hospitality. The Hard Rock joins a growing number of entertainment-themed properties in the company's portfolio, which includes a new steel-bound brewery and distillery franchise, a helium-tethered balloon ride launched in the summer of 2024, and a music-themed hotel and celebrity steakhouse under development at the former Howard Johnson's up the street. During an interview earlier this summer, Live USA President Michael DiCienzo hinted at the project. The balloon was first, this is second, and additional moves 3, 4, and 5 are aligned with what we're doing next. There's more to come. We're going to build demand so that the whole market benefits, not just us. It's important to grow the market, and that's what Niagara Falls, Canada has been doing. New York has not, but that's now changing. Founded in 1982, Hard Rock began franchising internationally in 1983, and today has more than 300 locations in nearly 80 countries, according to the company's website. Daniel T., Director of Development for Live USA, said the deal allows the company to expand as Hard Rock broadens franchise opportunities in the U.S. And he added, you know, if there's a possibility to expand our footprint with different locations, we would welcome that, close quote. No major changes at the Prospect Street site are expected in the short term, he said. The DiCienzo family has a long history in the entertainment industry on the Canadian side. A Live USA sister company has owned a Hard Rock's franchise since 1996, on the Canadian side of Niagara Falls at 5705 Falls Avenue in the Casino Niagara building. The family also operates a Planet Hollywood, several concert venues, and an online radio station. The goal with the franchise on the U.S. side will be to expand opportunities for live music in Niagara Falls and mimic the success the company has had across the border, T said. And he added as a closing, it's been very successful, and we look forward to bringing that success to the American side. With Hard Rock being a live entertainment venue, and with what we're doing with the new hotel and Steelbound, we can now expand that footprint at Hard Rock and continue live music there as well. Okay. Well, thank you, Tracy Drury, for those three items. And next we go with Jacob Tierney and his commercial real estate. And that's page 7. And there are two articles, one of which is another big number. Big number this time, Jacob Tierney tells us, is $4.6 million. Huh. What could that be? Of course, $1 million is not what it used to be. But for them, that's still impressive. I'm just kidding. Okay. $4.6 million is the amount for which the Diocese of Buffalo sold three downtown properties, including its former headquarters. The properties include 795 Main Street and an attached office building at 801 Main Street, as well as the adjoining parking lot, a parking lot at 814 Main Street, and a garage at 821 Main Street. Okay, so covering both sides of the street, and the diocese sold these properties for $4.6 million. You know, I'm more timely in mentioning at this point. You're listening to a reading of articles and features from Buffalo Business First. Where? You got it. On the Niagara Frontier Radio Reading Service. Well done, those of you listening in. Okay, now we go to commercial real estate. We just mentioned the $4.6 million diocese selling the three properties. And now, lawsuit. Developer sues BMHA after being fired. Oh my gosh. Company was removed from Schaefer Village reconstruction project. And there's a picture here of the Buffalo Municipal Housing Authority's Schaefer Village in North Buffalo. Okay, let's see what it says here. A development team has sued the Buffalo Municipal Housing Authority after being fired from a massive proposed housing project in North Buffalo. The Buffalo Equitable Housing Collaborative is a partnership between the JHM Group of Connecticut and Penman Development of Williamsville. In 2020, the BMHA announced that it partnered with the collaborative for the planned demolition and reconstruction of Schaefer Village, a public housing community on Isabel Street. BMHA fired the organization from the project last summer without cause, according to the Equitable Housing Collaborative's complaint, which was filed in State Supreme Court in Erie County. The collaborative is asking the court to overturn the decision or award damages. In a statement, BMHA Executive Director Jillian Brown said he could not comment at length about ongoing litigation, but he denied the allegations, and here's a quote from him. Jillian Brown, director, says, "It is BMHA's position that no improper action was taken, and we will vigorously defend that this suit." Okay, close quote. The plan for Schaefer Village calls for demolishing the existing buildings, which house 233 apartments, and constructing 41 buildings with 217 units to create a less dense, more walkable community. A cost for the full project has not been announced, but the planned first phase was an estimated $35 million. The complaint said that Equitable Housing Collaborative proposed making the project even larger by acquiring a neighborhood parcel at 308 Crowley Avenue to expand Schaefer Village. The complaint said the collaborative would have made at least $14 million as its share of the development fee for the full project and potentially up to $133 million if the expanded version had proceeded. The collaborative said in court documents that it worked to secure financing and advance the project and accused the BMHA of firing the company to keep the full development fee. And finally, the BMHA has yet to file a full response with the court, but in an affidavit said, and here's a quote, "It quickly became apparent that the Buffalo Equitable Housing Collaborative was ill-equipped to perform the redevelopment of Schaefer." Okay, so that's it. Jacob Tierney, commercial real estate page on page 7. And oh, my heart be still. The next page, page 8. Oh my gosh, the list. Hassan Green. And this time it's executive staffing agencies. Okay, and they're ranked by the number of executive placements in 2025. So, okay. So we're not going by size of staff. We're not going by location. We're going by how many people did they actually place last year in 2025. Okay. Executive staffing agencies, ranked by number of executive placements, and I should read the caveat first. Mea culpa for not doing that first. About the list. Information on the list was obtained through Buffalo Business First research or supplied by individual firms through questionnaires that Buffalo Business First could not independently verify. Okay, so let's get a look in here. Remember, it's based on the number of actual executive placements they did in calendar year 2025. So in first place, we have the Imagine Group, and their address is on Main Street in the city of Buffalo. 274 executive placements. They have one office, specialty industries, IT, accounting and finance, marketing and administrative. And Brian Manley is their top local executive. In second place, Acara Solutions Talent Rise on Pearl Street downtown. They made 92 executive placements. They have two offices. They place in the aerospace defense industry, energy, hospitality, financial, IT, software tech, nonprofit, manufacturing, medical, private equity, and professional services. And Scott Stenzik and Peter Petrella are the top local executives. In third place, the Strauss Group, Main Street, Williamsville, had 87 placements. They have one office, and their specialty industries are manufacturing, financial services, and legal. And Randy Strauss is their top local executive. Okay, fourth place, we have computer people, corporate people, financial people, medical people, staffing. That's the name of the agency. They're on Worley in Williamsville. They achieved 81 placements last year. They have one office. They too do IT, accounting, finance, marketing, operations, travel, nursing, and executive placement. Joseph Lalonde and David McCode are the top local executives. Fifth place, Innovative Placements. They're in Buffalo, New York. They achieved 75 placements last year, one office, and they do administrative, human resources, healthcare, sales, marketing, accounting, finance, engineering, and manufacturing. Michelle Alberts is their top local executive. Seventh place, we have Golden Hire on Lakeshore in Hamburg. They achieved 50 placements. They have the one local office, and their specialty industry is information technology sales. William Barrett is their top local executive. In eighth place, we have JMS
Talent Partners on Ellicott Street in the city. They achieve 30 placements, one office, IT, manufacturing, professional services, executive placements, and Joel Shapiro and Jacob Lamas are their top local executives. In ninth place, we have Staff Buffalo and HR Buffalo, and they're on Humboldt Parkway in the city. They achieve 24 placements, one office. Okay, accounting, finance, human resources, operations, sales, marketing, manufacturing, construction, professional services, and nonprofit leadership. Maggie Shea and Lauren Lewis are the top local executives. In 10th place, to round out the first 10, we have Construction Trade Staffing Incorporated, headquartered in Orchard Park, New York. They achieve 20 placements, one office, skilled trades in construction, manufacturing, industrial, and technical markets. Mark Hayes is their top local executive. 11th place, Guestwick Recruitment Solutions, out of East Amherst. They achieved 18 placements, manufacturing, healthcare, and legal. And Daniel Guestwick is their top local executive. Okay, next we have 11th place. That was a tie because they too have 18 having been placed. Key Resource Group on Delaware in the city, 18 placements, one office. Legal, administrative, executive, manufacturing operations, accounting, engineering, human resources. Adrian Fazzo is their top local executive. 13th place, we have Career Connection Network LLC on Main Street in Williamsville. They achieve 16 placements. They have two offices, accounting, HR, administrative, management, supervisory, light industrial warehousing, IT, medical. Bonnie Daney, D-A-N-N-I, is their top local executive. 14th place, we have Express Employment Professionals, Sheridan and Amherst. They achieved 11 placements. They have three offices, professional manufacturing, skilled trades, and general office services. Josie and John Swanson are the top local executives. 15th place, we have Catapult Executive Consulting on West Tupper in the city. They had 10 placements, one office. They deal with manufacturing, financial services, professional services, healthcare, and nonprofit placements. And Marcia Colmiel is a top local executive. Also in 15th place with 10 placements, Citizens Personnel on Seneca Street in West Seneca. They have that one office. Information Technology, Accounting and Finance, Human Resources. James Cipriani is their top local executive. 17th place, Ascendant on Roll Road in Clarence Center. Had 8 placements, one office. They deal in the healthcare, manufacturing, nonprofit, financial services industry. And Lindsay Zajac is their top local executive. And finally, number 18 in these executive staffing agencies is Parallel Employment Group, Gardenville Parkway in West Seneca. They have 2 placements, 3 offices, staffing for food production, packaging, and light manufacturing. And Thomas Doody, D-O-O-D-Y, is their top local executive. So there you have it. The top executive staffing agencies in Western New York. My gosh, my gosh. Okay. Okay, so we get to that special section, Power 200 Women. And first we have a letter from the editor, Michelle Chiocci Adams, who writes, When Business First created the Power Women list in 2015, just 16.4% of the spots on the annual Power 250 list were held by women. 12 years later, that number has grown to 24%. That's progress, but women remain underrepresented in many of the region's most influential leadership roles, especially when you consider that women made up 51% of the workforce in the 8 counties of Western New York in 2025. Since the launching of this feature, the goal has been to hold a mirror up to the community of Western New York. Men hold the majority of the CEO positions in industries from banking to manufacturing to development. None of that diminishes the accomplishments of the women who have also reached leadership roles. There are still plenty of female leaders to be celebrated. Throughout the year, our reporters and editors observe hiring, firing, promotions, and retirements. We watch some leaders leave the region as others move in. The result is a list that reflects a constantly evolving leadership landscape. Here are some of the highlights of the last 12 months. Big promotions. Women made some major moves in 2026, including Beth Hollis, who was named president of Westar Automotive Group, number one on this year's list. Cassandra Davis, the new chief operating officer at Erie County Medical Center Corps. And Jillian Jones, who takes over as executive director of Buffalo AKG Art Museum in November. Welcome to Buffalo. The University of Buffalo and SUNY Buffalo State University both appointed new female presidents, Carolyn Attardo-Jenko and Jennifer Burris, respectively. Stepping down. Several women in last year's top 25 have retired, including Dottie Gallagher, Buffalo Niagara Partnership, Bonita Durand, SUNY Buffalo State University, and Aaron D. Girolamo, from Horizon Corps. The 2026 list includes CEOs, bankers, educators, law firm partners, nonprofit executives, health professionals, scientists, and more. As we rank the list each year, we consider factors such as time spent in a position, how prominent an organization is, how many employees depend on that leader and a person's community involvement. We did not include elected officials whose power requires no external recognition. Congratulations to all the women on this year's list. Thank you for your leadership. Okay, because of the time allowances, I think I'm going to, rather than go do the large article about Beth Hollis, Westar's new president, I'm going to read the blurbs that they have for each of the top 10, if I can get that far. I think I can. Okay, in number one spot, we do have Beth Hollis, President, Westar Automotive Group, Vice Chair, Children's Hospital of Buffalo Foundation, Buffalo Niagara Partnership Executive Committee, Univera Healthcare Regional Advisory Board, Golisano Institute for Business and Entrepreneurship Board and Risk and Compliance Committee, member of Western New York Making History Network, Smithsonian American Women's History Museum. So those are all the memberships that Beth Hollis brings to the table with her expertise. Second place, Joyce Markiewicz, or Markiewicz, President and CEO of Catholic Health. Leeds Region's second largest healthcare organization boards DeUville University, Catholic Medical Partners, Healthcare Association of New York State, Buffalo Niagara Partnership, American Hospital Association Policy Committee. That's second place, Joyce Markiewicz. Third place, Tracy Woodrow, SVP, Chief Administrative Officer and Western New York Regional President, M&T Bank. Overseas HR, Corporate Services, Security, Sustainability, and Enterprise Services First Line Risk, along with leading the Western New York leadership team, Board Vice President, Buffalo Prep, Board Chair, Westminster Foundation, boards of both the Buffalo Philharmonic Orchestra and the Roswell Park Alliance Foundation. So that's number three, Tracy Woodrow. Fourth place is a familiar name to you, Mary Wilson, Life Trustee and Board Chair, Ralph C. Wilson Jr. Foundation. Leeds Foundation committed to improving quality of life in Southeast Michigan and Western New York, established the Western New York Girls in Sports program for more than 250 girls ages 9 to 12 to participate in sports taught by athletes from local universities and sports clubs. Okay, so that's the top four: Beth Hollis, Joyce Markevich, Tracy Woodrow, Mary Wilson. In fifth place, we have Candace Johnson, President and CEO, Roswell Park Comprehensive Cancer Center, M&T Bank Presidential Chair and Leadership Member, National Institutes of Health Reviewers Reserve Chair, NCI Frederick National Laboratory Advisory Committee, boards with Buffalo Niagara Medical Campus, grant review channels, advisory boards, and journal editorial boards. Candace Johnson, number five. Kimberly Minkle, President and Executive Director of NFTA, the Niagara Frontier Transportation Authority, oversees the agency that operates public transportation services, airports, metro rail, and bus system in Buffalo. Okay, Treasurer, Buffalo Niagara Partnership, Vice Chair, Visit Buffalo, boards Highmark, Western and Northwestern New York, and Buffalo Urban Development Corps. Seventh place, Ann McCaffrey, President and CEO of People Incorporated. Commissioner, New York State Legislative Ethics Commission, the boards of Buffalo Niagara Partnership, Nazareth University, Buffalo Academy of the Sacred Heart, Erie Canalway Heritage Fund, Catholic Health, and Person-Centered Services. In eighth place, Patty Kaminsky, SVP and Buffalo Division Manager of Wegmans Food Markets. Leads division with more than 6,000 employees, board secretary and member of the executive committee, United Way of Buffalo and Erie County. Buffalo Niagara Partnership Board, Business Leaders Task Force of the Greater Buffalo Racial Equity Roundtable. Okay, so fifth is Candace Johnson, sixth Kimberly Minkle, seventh Ann McCaffrey, eighth is Patty Kaminsky. Ninth, we have Joanne Folletta, Musical Director, Buffalo Philharmonic Orchestra. Board, Damon University. Principal Guest Conductor and Music Advisor, Omaha Symphony. Artistic Advisor, Cleveland Institute of Music. Principal Guest Conductor, Brevard Music Festival. Conductor Emeritus, Hawaii Symphony. Music Director Laureate, Virginia Symphony. And of course, the Musical Director of the Buffalo Philharmonic Orchestra, lovingly referred to as the BPO. Okay, number 10, we have Mindy Rich, the chairman of Rich Products Corporation. Also chairman of Rich Entertainment Group, boards of M&T Bank, Weber Incorporated, Cleveland Clinic, Rock and Roll Hall of Fame and Museum, advisor of BDT and MSD Capital Partners, director of Dreamcatcher Charitable Foundation, director of Rich Family Foundation, co-founder of Western New York United Against Drugs and Alcohol Abuse, and also the Greater Niagara Bass Eye Celebrity Challenge. Okay, that's Mindy Rich in 10th place. Kelly Corby, COO of Kaleida Health. Joined the executive team in 2024 at region's largest health system, serving more than 1 million patients annually with nearly $3 billion in net revenue. Board, Western New York Women's Foundation. 12th place, we have Betsy Constantine, and she's the president and CEO, Community Foundation for Greater Buffalo. Boards of Say Yes Buffalo, Western New York's Women's Foundation, Child and Family Services, Buffalo Niagara Partnership, and Elmwood Franklin School. National boards of Council on Foundation and CF Leads. 13th place, Jessica Cox, president of Highmark Western and Northeastern New York. Appointed to the role in 2024 as the first female president. Boards of Buffalo Council New York, Buffalo Niagara Partnership, Invest Buffalo Niagara, and Health Insurance, Life and Health Insurance Guarantee Corps, New View Alliance, and New York Health Plan Association, Dean's Council, UB Jacobs School of Medicine, and Biomedical Sciences. 14th place, we have Jennifer Walter, EVP and CFO of Moog. an executive team for the region's largest manufacturer with over 4,000 local employees, and she's also the treasurer of SPCA serving Erie County. And finally, in 15th place, and that's all we can get to with the time allotted to me, Alice Jacobs, board president and innovation philanthropist, Buffalo AKG Art Museum. She led $230 million capital campaign to expand the museum's campus board, Say Yes, founding board and chief emerita, Western New York Women's Foundation, co-founder and co-chair of Western New York Making History Committee, member of the Smithsonian National Board. So there's our top 15, and of course, keep in mind, there's 100. So I think it would behoove you, if you could, to give the station a call here. I shouldn't say the station, give us a call, if you would like for a staff member to be able to read you some of the others, or perhaps even all of the others. But very impressive work done there by females. God bless them all. And before I do my sign off, what I'd like to mention too is, I mean this sincerely, you have a, can I say, a cornucopia of wealth, of wealthy reads. If you can just go to your whatever type of electronics you use, go to the search box and put in NFRRS, which stands for Niagara Frontier Radio Reading Service. It will take you to our website, and there you will find it's like when Dorothy opened the door and Oz was in color. This will open the door in your mind, and you will have the chance to listen to books, fiction, nonfiction, to listen to people reading to you, again, besides the books, magazines of all type, newspapers on a daily basis read by our team members. Wonderful, usually they do a co-team, in other words, two members at the same time. And again, you will not find this type of service all over the country, but you will find it here in Western New York. But of course, if they ever hear of us, even somebody as far away as, let's say, Des Moines, Iowa, put in your browser, NFRRS, and you're going to find a genie's lamp. Maybe you could even rub your screen, and you will find and hear any number of choices. They're done by our volunteers. God bless them all. Okay, so I'm waxing euphoric, and I have to end now. But what I'd like to tell you is that you've been listening to a reading of articles and features from the August 14th through 20th, 2026 issue of Buffalo Business First. We read from Buffalo Business First every Wednesday at 7 p.m., and your reader has been Fran McNamara. Please, please, please give that website a holler, as my dad would say. Okay, thank you so much for listening.
Coming up next in the Niagara Frontier Radio Reading Service, we have Time Magazine. Following that at 8 o'clock is the New York Times, and at 9 o'clock is our comic book readings from our friends at Comicstorian with Ultimate Spider-Man, Ultimate Absolute Superman, Nightwing, and the DC Marvel crossover. Stay with us. following program is intended for listeners who are blind, have low vision, or have another print disability,